Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
In 2016, we've been on a very clear path for this church. And we've been asking, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Now, here we are at the end of 2016. Has this year been a transition in your life where you are now seeing more and more of Jesus' lordship and less of your lordship in your own life? More and more you're submitted to His will, less and less you're doing your own thing. Yes, and there's no question. Everybody in here, you raised your hand or you repeated a prayer at one time in your life. Maybe when you were 7 at Vacation Bible School or in children's church when you were a little kid or at a youth rally. Maybe it was a summer camp for you where you repeated the sinner's prayer. I don't know. It may be whenever you was 38 and you woke up and said, I am miserable throwing up in this toilet, not knowing where I was last night. This stinks. I got to make a change. I don't know, maybe you were looking through some cell bars with your face against the bars thinking, I need a drastic change in my life. So it might have been when you were 7. It might have been when you're 37. I don't know. But we're not talking necessarily about that, although that's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. What we've been talking about in 2016 is, have you made, since you went down front and you repeated the prayer, have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Are you submitted to His lordship? The Christian life is not bowing your head and repeating a prayer. The Christian life is daily living, not my will, but yours be done. That's the Christian life. And I see people that say that they are a Christian and they are participating in sin. I see people that say they're a Christian and they're going right out. Not only are they doing it, they're putting it on Facebook so everybody can know that they did it. And that brings the wrath of God. That brings the judgment of God. I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And here's what I get. Well, Tim, it's fun. Well, Tim, it feels good. Here's what I get. Well, Tim, come on, really seriously. Everybody today is doing this. Here's what I get. Wanted to. Felt like it. Let me tell you something. Not any of that is in question. You need to know, if it didn't feel good, nobody would do it. The devil couldn't get any followers if it wasn't fun. I'm not asking you, was it fun? I'm not asking you, did it make you feel good? I'm not asking you if everybody's doing it. As a Christian, what does God's word say about your life? Are you living under His lordship, or are you doing your own thing? Have you made yourself Lord? Why did you do that? Well, Tim, I thought. Well, now, Tim, let me just tell you. I personally believe. Well, Tim, I felt like. Well, I was raised to think. Well, I was always taught. Well, Tim, that's where culture is today. I'm not questioning any of that. I'm not questioning any of that. But as a Christian, how you think is not what we're talking about. As a Christian, the way you feel is not what we're talking about. Well, Tim, I was raised and I was taught. I'm not talking about how you were raised and how you were taught. As a Christian, are you directed by God's word? When you watch TV, when you watch the media, when you watch the news, when you watch entertainment, when you go to the movies, there is always an agenda that is shaping your thinking about the trees or the environment or about people or about fun or shaping the way you used to think that was sin. Now it's funny and it's okay because it's on the movies, afternoon talk shows. And they bring in these hosts that are well educated, and they talk about parenting, or they talk about money, or they talk about your welfare, or they talk about you drinking some vitamins, or I mean, whatever. And so you're swayed by all of this. Now, let me just tell you, I'm not one of these ministers that thinks everybody needs to go burn their TV. I'm not a guy that says we need to ban TV. I'm not a guy that says we need to ban the internet. It's awful. Let me just tell you, we got over 100,000 people hearing me preach on Sunday morning sermon all over the world because of the media. I'm a media guy. There are hundreds of millions of people worldwide that are hearing sermons, that are hearing podcasts, that are hearing teachings, that are being greatly affected by the media for God. So I'm not a media burner. I'm just telling you better know the Word of God. I'm just telling you better be able to filter what you're hearing, or in no time, your thinking will be wrong. You're going to think you're right, but that doesn't build a strong marriage. I'm just telling you, if you do that right there, you're going to lose your teenagers. I'm just telling you, that it seems right, but in the end, that right there is death. Now, you need to know God's Word and be submitted to God's Word. Our theme this year has been Jesus is Lord. As we start wrapping up 2016, we're about to enter into the celebration of Jesus' birth. I'm looking forward to the next couple of Sunday mornings. I've got some great things that we're going to be talking about. I'm looking forward to next Sunday and what I want to share with you. Make sure that you don't miss, because it's going to be powerful, about the birth of Jesus. But I don't want to move forward until I know for sure we got this. You know, that's the problem with God's people. We're always wanting another word from God when we hadn't done the last thing He told us to do. So I want to make sure that we're not flying on and moving on until I know for sure and certain that we have gotten in our heart what He put us out on, what He put us on in the 1st of January. The crisis that we've been addressing in our church, and the crisis all over America, is the fact that America has been evangelized. We've got in polls 78% of America to 80% of America. Now, it vacillates between 78% and 80% of America says, I'm a Christian. That's kind of shocking to me. Is that shocking to you? Oh, well, you wouldn't think that. Looking at the way the majority of the people live and act and do and what they participate in, Jesus isn't Lord. That's it. See, that's what Jesus, they may say they're a Christian, but Jesus is not Lord. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. We don't have a clue what it means to make Jesus Lord. See, a life lived under Jesus' lordship is a life that says, here's what I think, here's what I want to do, here's what I feel. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. I mean, we don't have a clue. Christians don't have a clue that God created two genders in Genesis, not 37. There's only an X and a Y. Well, that's it. And each person comes to a place where they understand God's way of thinking, not man's way of thinking, as we make Jesus Lord. And you come to a place in your life where you fall on the ground and say, my way is not working. Me being the boss, me being the Lord, me being in charge of my entertainment, me picking out the last five husbands I've had, me picking out my, come on, it's not working for me. This is not making me happy. Me picking out the friends that I hang with, it's not working for me. I'm going to have somebody else that's making the decisions in my life. Somebody else that are making the decisions in my life. 2016, is Jesus Lord? The problem is, we've lost the word Lord. We've lost that word. 80% of America understands Savior, and everybody wants a Savior. I want to be saved. If I'm falling off of a hill, If I'm in a cliff, if I've fallen in a hole, if I'm running down the rapids in the river, if I am all about getting saved. Save me from this impending crisis that I'm in. When the airplane runs out of gas and it starts in a downward spiral, everybody's wanting a savior. At no time in your life do you not want a savior. Savior's easy to convince. But we've lost the word Lord. We've lost the word Lord. Acts 2:21. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Acts 7:59. Call on God saying, Lord Jesus. 8:16, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9:10, here I am, Lord. Ananias, he didn't want to go see Paul. Hey, that guy, I heard he's killing people. Ananias answered, Lord. Acts 10:4, we're afraid of what it might be, Lord. Peter didn't want to eat out of that sheet that came down in his vision. But Lord, whatever you... 11:21. There was a number that believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 13:7. The Lord commanded us. 15:11. The Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. 15:26. Lives lived for the name of the Lord. 15:35, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. 18:25, instructed in the way of the Lord. 20:19, serving the Lord. 20:14, receiving the Lord. 21:14, the will of the Lord. 22:16, away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Romans 1:3, concerning his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going on any further, because I have 629 more to go. 629 times in the New Testament alone, the word Lord appears. And today, the teaching and the communication of Christianity is all about a Savior and just none about a Lord. Modern day churches, to draw big crowds, are all about a Savior. But boy, you run people off when you start talking about the Lord. The church today is full of people. Maybe it's just because I'm a pastor that I notice churches. But have you ever noticed how many churches are in this town alone? When you're traveling, do you notice the number of churches? We're driving through a town and I say, babe, in the last two blocks there's been 7 churches. She looks at me and says, why are you counting? We're just traveling. But you know, church. In 2 blocks, 7 churches. It's all across America. Churches are everywhere, and everywhere those churches have people in them, and we're all about a Savior. Save me from my sickness. Save me from my finances. Save me from my destroyed marriage. Save me from my kids going off the deep end. God, save me, save me, save me. But we're not talking about He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. We've done a great job evangelizing America. We've done a real poor job about bringing America a new Lord. About a new Lord in your life. As we leave 2016, our theme this year has been Jesus is Lord. Today, we're the first Sunday of December, and we're about to enter into our celebration of Christmas, of Jesus' birth. But before we do, I can't move on until I'm 100% sure that I've given you every opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life this year. The title of today's message is Decide. Decide. The title of today's message is Decide. Today there's a plague. There's an epidemic in this generation. I talk about it a lot because it greatly concerns me. Generations are given names. I don't know who does that. I wish it was my job, but it was the Roaring 20s. the beatniks, I kind of like that. The beatniks were in the 50s. The hippies were in the 60s. We're at Generation X. I hear the word millennial. I don't even know what that means. I wish I would get appointed by our new president as being the one that gives names to generations. Because I got a name for this generation. After the millennials come the, I don't know. That's the name that I would give if I was on the president's committee to establish names for generations. We got the Generation X, we got the millennials, and now we got the I don't knows. And you spell it D-U-N-N-O, don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. What do you want for supper? I don't know. Where do you want, what movie you want to go to? I don't know. What friends are you going to go? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What? I don't know. What does that mean? What can I do with I don't know? And Terry and I are stay frustrated with young people. Because they live in a house with a family. And I ask them, where's your mom today? I don't know. Where'd your sister go? I don't know. Well, what do you do? I mean, well, do you just sit on the couch with eye patches on? How come you don't know anything about the workings of what's going on in your daily life here? Where the heck is your mom? I don't know. And I have a hard time with dunno. I get frustrated at restaurants with this group. I mean, we got page after page on the menu. Page after page. The waiter's coming. Well, I don't know. The title of today's message is Decide. It was Decide. But then I got working on this sermon and it became Decide. Because I don't know, won't get it. Your daily life is full of decisions. What are you going to do? I don't know. Do something. He didn't create you robots. He created man, and the first thing he did was gave man a choice. God created man to choose. Well, Tim, I'm waiting on God. What are you waiting on God to do? Would you just look at the stars and the sky and the birds and the trees? Would you look at the opportunities? Would you look at all that he's done? And you fumbled the ball and couldn't pull that off, so he sent Jesus who died to forgive you, and you're waiting? Don't ever tell me I'm waiting on God. I mean, come on. God's already done a whole lot. You need to make a decision about what you're going to do with what he's already given you and handed you. God doesn't run his people on a puppet string. God gave you a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, life and death are set before you. Choose. Pull the trigger. That's it. Joshua 24:5, choose this day who you will serve. Psalms 21:2, God gives you the desires of your heart. Now choose. Proverbs 16:9, man decides, God orchestrates his steps. Daily life is a constant series of choices. The title of my message today is Decide. The point of today's message is, I don't know, won't put you in a blessable position with God. It just doesn't put you in a blessable position. Proverbs 16:9, man decides, then God orchestrates his steps. God is left deciding up to you. God is left deciding up to you. To be productive, to bear fruit, to be blessable by God, you've got to be a decision maker. And a lot of our young people are living depressed, unproductive, apathetic lives because they're not decision makers. You can't lay around here and avoid decisions because you are not in a position that is blessable by God. For God to direct your path, you're going to have to pull it down and drive. Try to direct the path. Get in and start trying to drive a car that's in park. You can steer it when the thing starts rolling, but you can't steer it when it's in park. And your life can't be lived in park, and this generation is going to have to pull her in drive. Young people, you're going to have to get the stick and pull it down and drive. You're giving God no movement to guide, and you're giving God no movement to bless. To get a raise, you got to first have a job.
That's right.
To get an advance, you got to first get started. To get $2 more an hour, you got to have something per hour right now. I know you want to make $10 an hour, but that comes as a result of making seven.
That's right.
If you want to raise to $200 a week, you need to be bringing in $175 a week right now. God can't bless this generation because I don't know. I've taught this in our parenting series. I've got it in our parenting books. But our family, we teach decision making. I know a four-year-old can't decide what clothes to wear, but unhang two shirts and say, which one do you want? I know he can't decide what to eat, but ask him, do you want green peas or do you want green beans? There, make a choice. Teach and train. We are training young people, and this generation is being raised by parents who have never made kids make a choice.
That's great.
I take our kids to the candy store. Not because I think that's a good thing for them to eat, but because that's a great place for me to teach. Candy store is full of options, full of options, full of options. And I walk in and I say, pick you one quick, right now, quick. And here's what we talk about. If you don't choose candy, then you will leave with no candy. I'm not there yet, but the closing line of this sermon, if you don't choose heaven, then you will go to hell. I'm not there. Don't write that down. I'm going to build to that point. Far too many in this generation are not deciding. Far too many in this generation are not deciding. And here's what I want to talk about. You think you are in a position of being okay because you haven't decided. And you're not. There are great consequences for not deciding. You ain't got no candy. If you can't make a decision for, then you are making a decision not to. And this generation lives like I can do anything that I want with no consequences. And there are great consequences in life. And here's what I want this generation to know. There are great consequences in life by you not deciding. And you think they're not. I don't want to get out here and do something because it may be the wrong thing. You are getting the wrong thing by not doing anything. I don't know, put you in a place that you don't want to be in. If you with your granddad at the candy store don't decide, then you will leave with none. And you're making costly decisions by I don't know. When you didn't choose candy, then you have no candy. When you don't decide to go, the consequences of that is you stay right where you are. If you think you're living in a neutral position today, I want you to know you're experiencing severe consequences in your life. Well, you hadn't decided what you're going to do. You're thinking about going to college a year from now. You're not planning on that, and you're in this limbo state that you think is okay. You are experiencing great consequences that are of untold magnitude. People's image of you, your spouse's image of you, what is going on in your life, where you are. You getting this? I don't know is a very dangerous place for this generation to live in, because you are in a position that's not blessable by God. Too many in this generation are here. Parents, if you're not careful, you'll raise kids that are here. I mean, you are a great mom. You're not like that other mom. I can't believe it. She didn't do her 11th grader science project for him. That's awful. I'm a good mom. I'd never tell my kid to make your own lunch. I'm a great mom. I do up my laundry for my kids. I'm a great mom. I make my kids' bed up for them. I'm a great mom. I make sure they have a car to drive and insurance. The government's got to now take over for you. Because that's what you've raised. And that's where we are. That's where we are. Come on, parents, you got to raise decision makers. You got to raise producers, and you can't create a scenario where their phone is paid, their car is paid, their clothes are done, their lunch is made, food is in the refrigerator, because now the government's got to take over when they get 18, because they can't do that for themselves. None of you will know this except for a few isolated ones here. But when the Sears and Roebuck catalog came out each year, it was the highlight of our year. Raise your hand. Okay, there you go. I mean, it's highlight. That was the biggest day of the year. Big Sears and Roebuck catalog. They mailed it out. I mean, the whole family gathered around it. The whole family. We looked and looked. It's a big event. Sears and Roebuck catalog, big event. Our Sears and Roebuck catalog came. I was 10, 11 years old. I can remember the picture. I can look at the bicycle right now in my mind. I said to my dad, I need that bicycle right there. It shocked me. I about fell off of the chair. My dad, he's never said anything like this. You know what he said? He said, I think you should have it. I looked at him and he said, I'll give you 50 cents an hour. You can start Saturday. I think you should have it. I'll pay you 50 cents an hour. You can get started Saturday. See, Deuteronomy 30:19, life and death are set before you. Now here, bicycle sitting right there. You got to make a decision. Life and death are set before you. Joshua 24:15, choose this day who you're going to serve. See, the devil lost. He didn't win. He's in a defeated position, but he's destroying lives by keeping you from deciding. Here's the problem. If you can't decide where to go to college, then you're not going to one. If you can't decide what you want to do when you grow up, then you're not doing anything. If you can't decide where you want to live and raise your family and put down 40 years worth of roots, you're still renting, moving, and you're not starting on your root. See, the devil simply can't stop you from living a blessed life. He just can't, but he can keep you from making a decision that puts you in a place to be blessed. When you don't make a decision, when you don't decide to, when you don't decide to read your Bible before you walk out the door of the house every morning, then you decided not to. When you didn't decide to have a few minutes of quiet time and prayer with the Lord before you leave, when you didn't decide to do that, then you decided not to. You're not in limbo. You're not in neutral. You're making a decision when you say, I don't know. You're making a decision when you say, I don't know. A great picture of life can be seen sitting in a restaurant, a menu full of the best steaks, of the best prime rib, of seafood, a salad bar that's unbelievable, broiled tilapia, salmon. It's just unbelievable what's on this list. And the waiter comes, pad and pencil in hand, and he says, what can I bring you? Here it comes. I don't know. Freeze the frame right there. Everybody got it? The frame is frozen. Let me ask you a question. What's coming to you? What is on its way to your life? What is on its way to your marriage? What is on its way to your checkbook? What is on its way to your table? What is on its way in your kid's life? What is right here? The menu is full. I'm asking you today, what is on its way to you right now? Freeze frame. The answer is nothing. When you don't know, then nothing is on its way to you. Deuteronomy 30:19, God calls heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. And your answer to God is, I don't know. Matthew 14, more sermons have been preached on Peter walking on the water than probably any other topic in the Bible. More sermons have been preached on Peter walking on the water, and we've talked about looking at Jesus, we've talked about the waves, and we've talked about his faith. We've preached countless sermons. But the sermon that I want to preach today is, there were 11 others in that boat that no sermon's ever been preached about. There were 11 others in that boat that are completely left out of this event. There are 11 others in this boat that no one remembers. Why? Because they didn't make a decision to climb over the edge of the boat and walk out there with Peter. And because they didn't decide to get out of the boat, they stayed in the boat and they missed being a part of the story. Don't think your indecisiveness has got you in a protected state. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision where God is concerned in your life. It's decision time. You got to decide. Is Jesus Lord? If you have not decided to make him Lord, then you have decided to leave you as Lord. Our church's theme this year as we wrap this up, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now I'm asking, have you transitioned to that position in your life? And I want to end with this. If you have not decided for heaven, then you have decided for hell. If you have not decided to live a godly Christian life, then you are living an ungodly life of a heathen that God's wrath and his judgment is loosed on. Before we leave our theme in 2016, all the messages that we've preached this year, right now, before we go a step further, I want everybody in here to bow your head. I want everybody in here to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes because I want to block out where we're fixing to go, where you're going to go have lunch, what you're going to do this afternoon. I want you to block out for just a quick few minutes all that you came in here with your mind, and I want you to close your eyes and I want you to take a self-evaluation. Have I this year made Jesus Lord of my life? Am I living my life in a place where I say, not my will any longer, but I'm going to live my life fulfilling your will? If it's not your plan, if it's not your purpose, Lord, if it's not your way, then I'm not going that way. Father God, right now, as we bow our heads in this place, we ask you to forgive us of all of the many times that we have exercised our will, our wants, and our desires, and we've not submitted ourselves to you. Now, Lord, right now, we submit our wills to you. As we begin to end 2016, we transition our life, Lord, into leadership by you. God, you direct us. God, you guide us. Lord, my decisions are based out of your heart and out of your will and out of your purpose. God, today, not my will, but yours be done. I want you to say it with me. Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the ways that I've been Lord. Today, I make you Lord of my life. Today, I change who's driving this ship. I put you in charge of my life. Lord, today, I say, not my will, but yours be done. And I accept you as Lord of my life. Everybody in here making Jesus Lord. We're passing Savior and we're making him Lord. Jesus, you be the Lord of my life. God, today is our church makes you Lord of their life. As our church puts ourselves in a blessable position by you, God, we live our life with our hand in your hand. God, we live our life directed and guided by you. Lord, no longer are we putting off making a decision for you. We're making a decision for you right now, right here, today. I accept you as Lord of my life. I accept you as Lord of my life. Father, your hand of blessings be loosed on this group of people, and we give you thanks. Father God, today it's with great anticipation we look forward to the month of December. As we celebrate your entrance into this world and we celebrate your birth into our life, God, your hand direct us and guide us as we live to honor and to please you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.